Blog Talk Radio.
The glamorous, the ever delightful Holly Steffi.
Holly!
Oh my God.
Welcome.
That woke me up. Besides the call I got this morning that said it was from Vegas, that wasn't from Vegas.
Were you letting.
Oh my God. That's
and
awesome.
We're cold calling
I'm
you
still
again,
dancing.
Were
Wait.
They?
Angie, I'm still dancing the night away, okay?
You're a woman. I love that.
I'm dancing the night away.
It's my birthday.
And happy birthday to the beautiful. I want to say something now. Happy beautiful to the wonderful, courageous, and resilient, and beautiful, and talented Angela Bowie.
Huzzah. Wow.
You made me nervous. I got all red.
No, you are.
No one can see me, so it's okay.
You are one of the most resilient people I've ever met. You like are so talented, Angie, and you come back. Boy, I'll tell you, when you come back and you just hit them where it hurts with the good stuff. That's great.
Well, I have to tell you, I wanted to ask you a question. Doing all this research and going through all the different stuff, which, you know, we're going to talk about. I'm dying to ask you, especially about the children's books. No, I had no idea, and I don't know. I couldn't find any specific notes on it, so I know I'm going to have to get them from you. But what I wanted to ask you is, and I know Rick said the same thing to me when we were waiting for you on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us some of your favorite people to interview.
Oh, wow.
Who have you really enjoyed?
You know, you were fun. You were great.
Oh,
I had you on my show.
No,
that was fun. But I'll tell you, a lot of people ask me that, and the thing is, on the show when I was doing the reggae series interviews, that I think was probably really, really fun because they are so raw and so live with their passion and their love of music and life. Calling them and interviewing them on the phone was just like amazing. So I think the reggae series, when I did the reggae series shows, Those were really amazing. And then, of course, all the John Lennon people that I've interviewed over the years. Because I've learned things about John and I've learned things about the Beatles that I didn't even know. So, I mean, I can't, that's hard to say because it changes all the time. But all my interviews, I love every single person I've had on my show. And what's really great is we all have a special relationship. And that's, I mean, including you, Angie. I mean, really, seriously, it's like every time I interview someone, I form a very special relationship with that person.
Yes.
Because
yeah, you do. You form a bond. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
yeah.
I've had a lot of people tell me that I can get a lot of things out of them that their own mother doesn't even know.
Because I think a lot of us who are communicators, we have an unwritten boundary that allows most things to be welcomed as questions or as issues for comment. You know what I mean? And I think that gives one an openness and makes one a lot more relaxed. I think when you have secrets, don't you? And you have to be interviewed. It's so nerve-wracking because you can't remember what the secrets are. You know what I mean? Oh, God, was I supposed to say that? Oh, God, no. You know, I'm useless. I can only tell the truth. It's the only MO I have.
I'm the same way. I know. I hear you.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the lies. I wouldn't remember which one I told. I'd be like, well, oh, no, I didn't say that. What did I say? Oh, God. Oh, boy. Well, I'm interested in the reggae series. That must have been wonderful.
That was an amazing experience for me because, first of all, it was really interesting for me because I talked to a lot of reggae artists before, but to actually be able to call Jamaica and then call and have all the greats in the studio, and it was like I was just calling to interview one person, and then here I've got five or six of them all singing in the background. And in Jamaica, I think the really big thing with them is they like to do jingles for people. Jingles. And I said, what's a jingle? What's a jingle? And they go, well, we do kind of like a little song about the person. So I had these people singing live, and they can sing on cue because most of them have sang in church choirs and stuff like that. So it was amazing. I have to say that the reggae series was really fun. That was a really fun time. I had a good time with that.
Yeah, it sounds like it would have been I like that. My friend Dennis Franz has an interest. He's out of San Francisco, and my other dear friend from Cyprus, Haji Mike, who I was just talking to Rick about yesterday, who's going to be doing the show on December the 10th, they have a reggae band called Poets for Peace. And A Pair of Olive Leaves was the first album that they did, and I helped them about 10, 12 years. We did the first big online record release party.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and so I know what you mean. I always enjoy getting a chat. And they have now associations. It's almost like a motorcycle club. All the reggae bands around the world, kind of like punk, are interacting and becoming friends so that they can support each other in tours all around the world.
It's a lifestyle.
So the music.
Yeah.
Yeah. The lifestyle and the music has a larger audience and a bigger database. It's very interesting and fun social networking and marketing.
Well, you know, I want to tell you really quick, you know, I worked with Mikey Dread before he went to the next place, and Mikey Dread was very integral and brought reggae to the United States with The Clash and with No Doubt and with all the other people. And so Mikey was very integral as far as bringing reggae to the United States. So that was my first introduction to reggae. But You know, me, I love music straight across the board, and reggae is its own separate thing, and it does have a whole separate feeling to it. And, I mean, in my house, it's pretty much, I never know what I'm going to be playing, but most of the time it's Swiss radio, the French Swiss radio classical station, because I'm so used to hearing that in the background. It doesn't, and it's just in the background. It doesn't even bother me. You know, it's like, it's so normal to hear that music. But there are so many times I love to just listen to all types of music. I mean, music is a very important part of my life, as it is you. I'm, and Rick as well, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yep.
I mean, it's inspiration for me. And you were talking about the children's books, and we'll get into that when you're ready. And I'd
oh,
love
no,
to
I'm,
talk
I'm
about
I'm ready
all
now,
that.
Darling. Anything you wish to discuss?
Oh,
I
okay.
Just, it's interesting. I was thinking about what you were saying. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's why I was quiet.
No.
I was thinking about harmonics and this whole, I don't know if you've seen recently, we've been posting on the current events page about this bomb, which could explode now, with the a particular resonant pitch.
Oh wow!
Now that doesn't
so
mean that
it,
that doesn't
thing.
Mean that its only impact is for a bomb. What it also means is that if you were to want to ignite it to make electricity, you could do the same thing. It doesn't mean it has to be a weapon, but I was astonished. I mean, not surprised. But my eyes got real big because I thought, wow, it's like, I love it when science fiction, you know, becomes reality. And
mm-hmm.
I had no idea that that was something that they were going to be able to do, is to take power and energy from sound. But you see,
yeah,
all of
all
us
vibration.
Know about this.
Yeah.
We know this. In the last 100 years, ever since they started with radio and then with gramophones,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what was that wonderful scene in that film where they're charging on someone in the First World War, and they've got music cranked up, not rock and roll.
Yeah, I know.
This was classical. It was some Brahms or something, you know, and because they realized that it could change the attitude
mm-hmm.
of the enemy. You know what I mean?
Music,
as you were advancing
yep.
upon them.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird stuff.
I mean, they play... I hate to say this, but they were playing music when the Titanic sunk. So, I mean, that's what they say. So, you know, it's like music, like, changes the moods of a lot of people. I
well,
mean,
10,000 years, I mean, we
and
have historical
too.
Evidence of, yeah, of soundtracks. You're right. Exactly.
It was just AM
yeah,
radio, so
years
it was no big loss.
Recorded history with soundtracks.
It's crazy. I know. It's like, you know, music, I think, is so, it's so global. And, you know, it goes back so long. And I think that, like you said, it's all about vibrational energy right now. And I did see that where they were talking about there were vibrations and every noise has its vibration and it sends a wave out into the atmosphere. But, yeah, music, I love music. I'll tell you that. Everyone knows that. Holly loves music.
Do you play an instrument, Holly?
I do not play an instrument. I used to play an instrument when I was younger. I was forced to play an instrument, as we all, I think a lot of us were when we were in school. I was forced to play the flute, but I hated it. And I ended up doing ballet for years, and then I got into fencing and archery and, you know, forget it. That was like my first, those were my loves, and then horseback riding went right after that. So it's like, you know, for me, I loved music, and music was always part of my life because I got to be able to bring music into the ballet part of it. Then I dropped the instrument, didn't play an instrument. Didn't want to do that. And that led me into just being more creative, you know, with my own life. And then meeting people as I grew up, I think, was my segue into really getting connected to really a lot more of what music was really all about.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you become an interviewer? I mean, what was your path that you were on so that you ended up doing Red Velvet Media?
Oh, that's a funny story. I was sitting, I always have been involved in the entertainment industry, whether it's been modeling or you know, creating food, catering, whatever. And I was always around people that did music, and in quite a few friendships and relationships, and people were involved in music, and I thought it was amazing. And, you know, I just started talking to people, and they go, God, just, like, get the best questions out of us. And so then I decided, hey, you know what, this might be a really good thing. So I had a lot of friends that really wanted to share what they were doing. So I said, hey, you know, let me form my company, because I had a public relations and marketing company. And then I said, hey, you know, I really want to get out of this. I really want to focus on just really interviewing people and really getting into their heads. And so I was sitting around and I was thinking, okay, what are some of my favorite things? And I think I told you about this, Andrew, the other night. I was sitting around trying to figure out what I was going to call my company. Because I was going to just call it my name, which I had an agency in L.A., and it was just my name. Mm. And then I went ahead and said Red Velvet. Red Velvet's my favorite cake, Red Velvet Entertainment. And I think I told you Red Velvet Entertainment. It sounded a little too racy and a little too saucy for me. So then, you know, I knew I would be getting a lot of backlash from that. So I said Red Velvet Media. So then I could cover everything, because I was dealing with actors. I was dealing with people that were in music, and authors like Angie, and artists like yourself, and people that cook, and lifestyle, and just, I think I've interviewed something. I've interviewed people from every type of lifestyle there possibly could be, you know?
Wow.
That's how it happened.
So Red Velvet Entertainment was not an escort service. I just want to underline.
No, it was not. No. Sorry to say, I was not, nor will I ever be an escort. Never was.
I wasn't implying that you were. I wasn't implying that you were, Holly.
Oh, it was funny. One day I Googled myself, and I saw somebody wrote, was Holly Steffi ever a Playboy bunny? Because I did a lot of work with Playboy Golf, and it is pretty funny because a lot of my friends are old playmates and current and whatever. And it was just funny because I guess they think when you're attractive, and you can relate to this, Angie, I guess they think when you're attractive and you're hooked up and you're hanging out with the right people, you got to be doing something else, like you're a playmate or an escort or something, right? No.
I don't know. Yeah.
It was all from my heart, you know. These people were all real friends, and you know what I mean. I mean, you know, it's like you meet someone and you form a friendship with them, and that friendship either lasts a lifetime or you find out they're schmucks. And you just get rid of them, you know? Yeah. I don't like to say kick them to the curb. I have a very strong spiritual path I walk, so I'm pretty spiritual when it comes to that.
Maybe
but,
you've got
a
big stick and ain't afraid to use it.
I do. No. And, you know, it was really hard for me. It's really hard for me to let go of people that – I see in my life that may not be good, because part of me is very loving and compassionate, and that's the part of me that I'm learning, you know, and from other friends and people and loved ones that have told me, hey, you know, you need to, like, let this person go with love and dignity. But, you know, it's like my life changed, I think, a lot when I started traveling. and I saw the lifestyles of all the other people and really saw how it was so different. So for me, I applied that to my own life, and it really changed me, and it really brought about an awareness with me spiritually, so I was able to, like, help other people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, and I know, again, both of you can relate to this, you give so much of yourself to so many other people that when it comes time to you, you have very little left and you're exhausted. Yeah.
That's true of a lot of caretakers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I'm a caretaker for the world. I really do. <you. laughs>
That's a big responsibility.
I am.
I was about to
I
say,
am.
Oh, yeah. Just
you
get
know,
up on
and,
that cross.
It's hard. It's really hard. And, you know, and for
I'll
me, it was
ladder.
Really hard to leave. I'm sorry, what did you say, Angie?
I was being cheeky. I said, let me get the
You're
ladder
being cheeky.
For you. Let's
my
get
little
up
cheeky,
on the
My little cheeky love. My little
Angie
birthday
being
girl.
Cheeky?
My little birthday girl and my little art, my artist here. No, but when
we're
you
being
know,
awful.
When,
sorry.
No, you guys are awesome. You know, when I went to Africa, that was like part of the beginning of the life changing thing for me because I got to see people that didn't have drinking water, that weren't able to do the things that we do, and the little children, and I'm a child magnet, and this can segue into my children's book. I'm a child magnet, love kids. I am and have been writing a book forever. There's two books, actually, that I'm writing. One's on the world that children go to when they dream, and it's a very unique book. It's going to have a dream journal in the back.
Excuse me.
I've worked... No, it's fine. And I've actually networked with a few music artists that are going to put some lullabies on some CDs, so that's going to be part of the book. And then the other book's going to really be about spirituality, how kids have kindness, you know, kindness in our world and what they can do, showing people that it's not bad to be kind and do things. But I just, like I said, it's like for me, it's really hard because I was always the parent that was on the playground when people would come to pick up their kids. When I was getting my daughter, I'd be the one on the swing set swinging with the kids playing.
Yep.
And the parents would come and they'd be like, who are you? Are you one of the teachers? And I go, no. No. And every weekend it would be like I would like have probably anywhere from 5 to 6 kids spending the night at my house every weekend because I lived on the beach and they all knew they could go surfing and I made pancakes in the morning and they could do whatever they wanted to do and have fun. And you know, there was discipline, but it was more of a freedom because you know, living at the beach is so different than living anywhere else. It really is. It's a lifestyle. It really is. And I surfed every morning 5 o'clock with my kid. Yeah, before she went to school. She never took a bus in her life, took her to school, drove her through. She got her orange juice and her bagel, as she would say. And I would drop her off at school after she had surfed at 5 in the morning. So,
wow.
You know, it was very magical. You know, it was a magical time for me. And now that she's growing up and modeling and doing her own thing, it's just, I miss that. You know, I miss that.
Mm.
But I do it for myself now. I do the things for myself that I need to do.
So you
keep
just
myself
have
centered.
One daughter, Holly?
I have, actually, Alex, yep. Yeah, I have more than one daughter. The whole world are my children, actually. That's how I
feel.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, it's
well,
funny.
Well, Rick has a son, Josh.
Yeah, Rick.
Yeah.
How old's your son now?
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it. He's going to be 24 in November.
So you know what it's like when they were little.
Oh,
it was like yesterday, right?
Oh, I know. He moved away. He's in Boston pursuing his profession, and
mm-hmm.
he's been in his profession 5 years, and it's so wild to see him come home. And he's like this independent young man, you know, with his solid opinions about himself and what he's doing, and he doesn't
mm-hmm.
laugh at my tired old jokes anymore.
Oh, you're funny. You're funny.
He doesn't.
Oh,
he just rolls his eyes at me.
Oh, no.
Angie's a kid magnet, too. Angie's a child at heart. That's why it's her child birthday today. Her birthday of
yes,
a child.
Exactly.
It is.
I do. I don't feel any different. Never felt any different. As the years go by, I feel exactly
mm-hmm.
the same.
You are. And I think that that's what's so unique about you, because you can still carry a lot of that over. But, boy, you are a good businesswoman, man, I'll tell you. Don't cross Angie. I'm giving you all a warning. Barracuda!
Angie rocks. I love Angie Bowie.
Doesn't she? I know.
I'm getting. I'm blushing again now.
Oh my goodness!
Now see, she
Angie, I can
hear,
make you blush.
She doesn't like to hear the truth about herself, does she? She's a pretty awesome woman.
I can't
and
believe
a lot of
I
people,
just made
I want
her
to
blush.
Hear more about the children in their dream world. Can you tell
us
about that? Because
I have
want
to tell
hear
you
Rick,
that this
Rick
is a this is a funny
artistic.
This is a really funny story. I had my daughter in preschool, and in preschool they have nap time, and I would get calls. Oh, your daughter, she's crying, she's freaking out, you need to come to the school. Well, I was literally like, you know, just like only a couple blocks away from the school. It was still down by the beach, so drove over there. What's wrong? And she'd like tell me, I just can't go to sleep, I'm afraid. So I would end up staying there and telling them all stories about the land they would go to when they would go and they would take their naps. So nap time, and then I interviewed some of the preschool teachers, and I found out that was like one of the hardest times for them. So that's why my book is all about, it's about the land that people go to when they dream. When they're, you know, at school or at home, and not to be afraid, and it's going to have a dream journal in the back so where they can draw what they've seen in their dreams. They can connect. Are you cooking breakfast? Is somebody cooking breakfast?
Not me.
Angie, what are
Angie's
you doing?
Angie's making a cake for herself.
I think that sounds really good. I dropped the phone. I got so excited.
Oh.
I don't even want to talk about it. You don't want to get me started on food. Oh, and I'm writing a book. I'm composing my cookbook. But getting back to the dream thing.
Yes.
The dream thing was really a very, it taught me a lot of lessons, too, because it taught me about dreaming and the land that I go to. So it really crossed over for the kids because they were able to go to sleep and they could draw what they saw in their dreams. And they weren't afraid anymore. And
that's
then
very cool.
You know, that's the part that I felt like I was giving back. Now, the other
mm-hmm.
book about the children and giving and forgiving and being able to cope, as we know, today's world is pretty nuts. So that's kind of gearing towards that. And then I am working on a cookbook, too. When
Ooh.
I said food, yeah, a cookbook. Angie knows I love food. I love food. I have cooking on FB, which is me, and I post recipes there, and I also have a website and stuff like that, and it's kind of fun because cooking is really a creative extension, you
mm-hmm.
know, for myself, and Alex's father, my daughter's father, was of a European descent, so I learned to cook a lot of European foods, and they were all healthy. And so really the food really was like something that I held on to. And then I learned upon moving and living in California more about the healthy part of food, and also just how you can create things. And don't even get me started on cupcakes. Everybody knows you can't. Hey, have you ever seen anyone that's been unhappy and had a cupcake? I mean, you've never seen an unhappy person with a cupcake, have you? Think about it.
No.
Cupcakes make people smile, right?
That's right.
That's true.
Yeah.
They do.
That's exactly
so,
right.
You know, I mean, for me, it's like, I never know what I'm going to make, and I have a lot of friends that do catering and have restaurants and stuff like that, and I get to be their guinea pig, yay! And I get to try what they're making. But it's interesting because I've learned to like foods that I normally would have never probably ever eaten. But, you know, traveling around the world, I've eaten so many different types of foods.
Yeah.
I have to, and I love European food, and I love tapas food. I love, you know, Mediterranean food is probably one of my favorite.
Let me ask you a question, Holly.
Yeah.
Where did you go to in Africa?
Where
did you go to in Africa?
Oh, I was everywhere in Africa. I spent a lot of.
Have I only ever been to Morocco, and of course, living in Cyprus, I went to Egypt as a kid and to Israel. But where did you go? Because that must have been fascinating, going to the actual, you know, the real, honest to God.
No, it's
Africa.
Like, you know, I actually was in Samburu. I was in all different places, and I have to tell you, the funny story in Samburu was I was with people that wanted to go on a what do they call them? Safaris. And I freaked out. I, like, went out. I got on the I got out, saw what they were looking, just looking at animals. They weren't out there to do anything to the animals. They were just looking at them. I couldn't handle it because I know there's a circle of life, and I can fully appreciate that, but I just couldn't handle it. I had them take me back. So Samburu, Kenya, I mean, it just all different. It just, like, for me, the villages were the most important part because it was like the women that walked, like, all half a day just to get a jug of water, and then they would come back. And to be able to bring water to Africa was really important. And that's and there's a girl that works on the Samburu project, and then there's also Sandy Fox, who has H2OM in L.A., who is a water advocate and also very integral. And this is going to be a hot button for you because I know that this is something you're going to really like, Angie, with the Hopi Indians, the Black Mesa Trust right now, the water and the Hopi Indian reservations in all the villages right now in Arizona. That's a big thing, too, right now. So I kind of have myself involved in a lot of different projects and even working on a book, working with an author on a book. Max Hawthorne, who has a book out and is working on a second novel. So, you know, or a second book to follow up on that. It's for me, it's really interesting because I have myself involved in so many different things, but yet I stay centered. And I know that you understand that because you're like that. And
yeah, it is. It's a yes, I know what you mean, but it's hard to put into words.
Mhm. And books because I'm writing my own books, being able to you know,
well, when are we
going working
to get a chance to see one of them? I want to be able to help you promote it.
Are
you looking
very
to publish
close
next year?
I am very close to getting this book published. I'm looking right now, finishing it. I'm working with an illustrator right now that is a very good friend of mine. And the music is already being done. I've got a couple more tracks from a couple really well-known artists. And then I'm trying to work a deal out with a crayon company because I want to include 4 different primary colors of crayons in the back of the book along with the CD where they can open up to the dream journal and then they can just go ahead and draw what they saw. So
cool.
I am going to keep you in loop on that, and I would really love for you to help me with
please.
That.
I don't know about you, Rick, but it really captures my imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That's what it's all about. And you know what's really cool, Rick, is when I saw your art yesterday, it really was like for me, wow, color, you know? Color is so important.
I can thank Angie for that because I had a real hard time getting out of black and white. And I spent years just doing black and white drawings. And thanks to Angie, she kind of opened the door for me and encouraged me to start using colors. I don't know why I was so skittish about it, because I'm really enjoying now working with color. But I have to thank Angie for putting me in that direction.
Yeah,
so
well,
thank you, Angie.
It's very cool.
I was just thinking, I mean, I think you were ready. I didn't do anything. All I said was, you know, color would work here.
Would work there, definitely.
Bright colors attract the subconscious, you know?
Yeah,
excuse me.
I love what you do in black and white, and because my mother drew in charcoal, I'm used to that. But then, when suddenly she decided to start coloring photographs, I saw this whole different side of her. And then she started
the creative
with oils.
Side.
Yeah, and it was the fact that her technique was so fine in charcoals that to see it then start to become fuller and fatter and more blossoming, and then with Rick, I knew that for the catastrophe illustrations, they couldn't all be black and white, because the book is not it to attach itself to a person, even as a coloring book, there has to be a motif to demonstrate how the artist feels about color. Because do you remember as a child doing a jigsaw puzzle or in your coloring book, we always looked at the cover before we began.
Oh,
because
and
the cover
absolutely.
Was in color, and that was the artist's rendering of how he saw the characters.
Yep.
Holly, do you paint or draw?
I do paint. Believe it or not, the reason why I got, and it's not painting like with oils or anything. I started thinking I wanted to illustrate my own children's book, but then I have someone awesome that is out of L.A. that I work with that does amazing art, and he tried to get me, he said, why don't you illustrate your own book? And I said, no, because I know what I feel, but I didn't feel comfortable with what I was drawing. And then I told him about one part of my book, and I said, hey, and he drew it, and it was spot on. And the colors just popped out. But my favorite medium to work in are those oil paint crayons, the crayons that you can paint with, and then you can make them wet. And they turn into water paint?
Yep.
Watercolors? That there was something that really was a life-changing experience for me because I was never really someone that really drew. I was more the writer. I've always been very much of a writer, and I think that came from my creative part of my inside, you know, where I was feeling, what I was feeling. I would always find a piece of paper and write things, and being around so many musicians, and I know, Angie, you can understand this. You're around.
What,
I hear dishes.
Yeah, I can understand that because I've done it all my life, too. Yes.
No, it's like I'll be sitting in a restaurant with somebody, and they'll be writing lyrics to a song on the back of a napkin, and then they stuff the napkin or say, "Hey, Holly, hold on to this napkin." I can't tell you how many unpublished lyrics I have on the backs of napkins from very, very, very well-known people. And they never ask for them back because they changed their mind or something, or I would tell them what they wrote, and then they said, "Oh, good, you know, that's great." But, yeah, you know, writing has always been just a big thing for me. Writing, I'm really into images, too, as you can tell. I love images, and I wanted to get into photography for the longest time, and I never really had I didn't really have the right kind of camera, so then I went out and I got a camera. And then you know what I found? The best camera was my phone. Because, I mean, I'm right there. I can take a picture, and I can capture that moment in my mind, and it brings me back to a Jackson Browne song, which is, you know, it's called Fountain of Sorrow, but, you know, looking through some photographs, you know, that song, it just like, it captured a moment. And it's like capturing a moment in time, right? So it's like there are so many iconic moments. Like I know, Angie, you just going through photos of your family, and then you too, Rick, going through photos of your child growing up. I mean, I found pictures of my daughter the other day that just blew me away, and I just remembered it took me back to that exact moment, and I could remember everything, all the senses and everything around me. And that was what was really cool. That part of it was, I think, having a photographic memory is really important too. So, I don't know. Have you gotten into photography ever, either of you?
Yeah. I love taking photographs. I used to just use it as sort of a tool to capture different images that I might want to incorporate into a piece. But now, you know, when you look through the lens, you can see, you know, all the different rudiments of drawing a picture. You know, you've got shape, form, color, lighting, subject matter, and, you know, and even the way that you take, you know, the viewpoint that you take the picture from, you know, becomes meaningful. I love taking pictures. I really do.
And you've been captured in some very iconic moments, Angie, with your photos that other people have taken of you.
Well, you know, styling photo shoots is part of being a director. You know, I've always just been a director. That's what I do, and that's what I'll be doing now as we move forward with Catastrophe and The Adventures of Lily Bounty and the various projects that are up and coming that Rick and I are working on. Catastrophe is going to be animated, and that's cartoon. So, with verse and lyric poetry and, you know, a full soundtrack, a full musical score. And then,
are you there? Hello?
I'm here.
Hello?
I
think we lost Angie.
Well, that's okay.
I'm here.
Carry on.
You're
hi,
there.
Angie.
We thought we lost
a button?
You.
No, you
didn't push
have
a button. You know, you were talking about your photographs, and then I was going to tell you about another project I'm working on with a gentleman.
Please tell me.
David Zucker. There's a movie that we're trying to do. It's called Dying Alone.
Mm.
It's about a cancer patient. And it's a very interesting script. And we've got some people involved that are going to be singing in it. actors and actresses, unknown and some known, that are going to be doing it. And I'm actually coming in as a producer on this album, on this movie. And we're diligently working on funding and also on, I think his location that he wants to do it in is Boston. And we have a lot of people, very well-known people in the cancer industry that we both know. Cancer is just such a big thing right now. I mean, it's reached an epidemic proportion, I think, more now than before. And from my own personal experience, it's something that's really important, I think, to a lot of people. So there are quite a few people that are working on the movie, including some of the top doctors in the world. So, I mean, for me, it's like asking me what I'm doing. It's just so funny because there's so many things that I'm doing. And like I told you about the author I'm working with an author who's doing a book. His book is called Cronus Rising, which takes you into the dinosaurs and, you know, sharks and that whole world. It's just so different. And so for me, I'm all over the place, but I still have myself very centered. I know what I want to do. And it's really all about a sea monster. And I'm not really going to give too much more away. You got to go see that, Cronus Rising. Yeah, no, it's pretty cool.
That sounds great. It all sounds wonderful.
And what's it called again, please?
Cronos, Kronos.
Okay, Cronos.
Rising.
Yep.
And it's also then, you know, it is on Facebook, I believe. Yeah, it's on Facebook. And it's pretty cool, the different things that he's going to be doing with the movie that he's hoping to come out with. And we're thinking when the second book comes out. And again, it's Kronos, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
Cronos Rising. And it's about after 65 million years, the world's greatest predator is back. So there you go. And so the first book is out.
I love all the mythological monsters.
You'd love it.
I'm thrilled. Yeah.
Dragons. Don't you love dragons?
They're all right. But I also,
awesome.
I'm a Stanley enthusiast, so.
Unicorns?
I like my monsters more recent.
Recent? Okay, tell me about your, what, explain that, recent monsters. Tell me about those.
Well, I think really recently I've been very big on the X-Men, on the Avengers, on the special effects. I'm talking about special effects. That's what I love.
Uh-huh.
Pacific Rim, Battleship, all these great, wonderful special effects monster movies. Those are my
favorite. I still love Predator. Predator and Terminator were two of my favorite movies.
Yeah, yep. I loved Predator too. Very good movie.
The original Predator and then the ones that went after that. But science fiction has always been like a big thing for me.
I love it. Yeah, it's so wonderful.
Science fiction, yeah, it just takes you to a different world and one that you can escape. And also, what's really scary now, Rick and Angie, is that a lot of the science fiction that they wrote about is really in reality coming true.
Mm.
Isn't that trippy?
I think that's scary. I think it's kind of cool. I tell you what I don't like. I hate the fact that everything George Orwell warned us about is coming true. That is depressing. You know, 1984, all of that horror of Soma and the numbers and the digitization and the way that that is just stripping us of our identities, of ourself. We're becoming nothing more nor less than profiles. So I mean, there's plenty to bemoan. But on the other hand, we have cell phones, which are, you know, our communicators from Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of that kind of stuff I find very charming.
It is.
Personal computers.
Well, now, when we
all
start being able to time travel, I'll be up for that. What about you, Rick?
Yes.
I think I've already been there. I'm still in the 60s.
Time travel. Time travel.
Help, I'm stuck in the 60s.
Hey, all right, I got a question for you. Angie, if you could go back in time, what era would you go to? Angie.
Can I go forward?
Can
I
go forward? Yeah, you can go forward.
1987.
Why?
I don't know. It's a good number.
I love it. I love it. Yeah.
Why?
2087. It's a great number. I like it. 2087.
Okay. Rick, what about
you?
You
know, it's in the future. It's got... I'm sure there would be some interesting things to notice. You'd probably have to take a gas mask and a couple of quarts of water.
Yeah, the Terminator is going to be running your world. Rick, what about
yeah.
you?
Well, there are two time places I would love to go and visit. One would be probably in the mid to late 30s.
Oh, yeah.
On a vaudeville circuit.
Yeah.
Love that. And the other would be, I don't know why, but I am so attracted to the year 1958. I have no idea why, but everything that was happening then was just starting to evolve into something else, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with you on that one.
How about
that
you,
whole,
Holly?
What'd you say?
Yeah. What about you?
How about you, darling?
Me? Well, that's complex. Midnight in Paris. Did you see that movie, Midnight in Paris, where Owen Wilson gets to go back and meets all the great artists and stuff? I would have liked to have gone back into that time. I can really relate to the times of the 30s. And I can also relate to the medieval times. I'm very drawn to that whole period of the Revolution, Joan of Arc, the Renaissance period. It clicks with me. It seems like I know a lot about it, and without even reading about it, I know about it. So for me, yeah, and maybe. I know this is going to sound kind of weird, but I'd like to go back to the time maybe the year before my mother passed away. Because I'd really like to spend that one last year knowing now what I know now as an adult, going back as a child and being able to have that knowledge of as an adult and being able to tell her how much I loved her and maybe being able to save her. Because my mom passed away from breast cancer. So, yeah, maybe that would be something that I would want to do.
Wow.
You know, I don't know.
Well, those are very admirable reasons, and I always take questions like that much more generally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it never sort of occurs to me to. Interface it with my family and that kind of stuff. People must think I'm very detached, but it's not. I always, whenever someone asks me a question like that, I always try to give a very general answer. It sort of doesn't occur to me to make it personal. Huh. Weird. I hadn't thought about that before.
Here I've gone and I've let people know a little bit more about me and my personal and my emotional feelings. So don't mess with me, guys.
Don't what? I didn't
don't
hear you.
Don't mess with me. Now, because people know. Because, you know, I really have a lot of love and respect for the world and I'm very forgiving. But, you know, you do... It's just very hard for me, you know. And the energy is so weird right now in the world, especially we have the harvest moon coming up, and then we have the solar eclipse coming up, which is going to be pretty amazing. I think we're going to see a lot of changes on a spiritual level. That's how I feel, you know. And then for someone that doesn't really know a lot about that, I think that it's going to be a little bit different for them too, because they're going to start to experience things that they didn't really know about. But you know, I wanna say to Angie, I wanna ask her how she's gonna spend her birthday today. What are you gonna do today, Angela?
I've already had a really wonderful first chunk of my birthday. I got a chance to get up and talk to you guys and say hi to all the pals on Facebook and do this wonderful. We've had so much fun, Rick Hunt and I, doing this show, haven't we, Rick?
Oh,
you guys
I
are. You guys are awesome.
Well, it's so much
fun getting
a chance to talk with everyone. I'm sorry?
You're normally on Thursdays?
Yes, only on
Thursdays. Yep.
Okay, cool.
And that's what I'm so far, that's been my MO. That's what I've done for my birthday so far, and it's just been wonderful. So I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day to spend some of it with us and give me an opportunity of asking all about you and the things that you're interested in with the same attention and detail that you did with me. You were such a support, Holly, when you interviewed me on your show. And I was just going through some difficult things. They're not the type of things that even bear explaining. But Holly remembered the state I was in.
I know.
It was so bizarre, and you were just such a support, so wonderful. And so you can imagine, Rick, it's been wonderful to get a chance to have Holly on and to talk about stuff that I was in such a state of paranoia. I couldn't even bring myself to reach out and ask you decent questions, Holly, which, you know, for me is pretty bizarre. When I was so upset, I couldn't even think to be polite and
well,
ask you about
your
situation.
Well, you are a woman. You're a resilient woman, and you're going to have many more happy birthdays. And I want to thank both of you for having me on today. And I hope that
you
have an amazing day, Angie. And I want to thank you, Rick. And there's so much more about me that we will have to do a second show.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, we will. And I can't wait. And I want to be able to be one of the first of your pals to announce one of these projects as it comes to fruition and to be there to help you promote it.
Oh, yeah. No.
And Holly?
I'm working with some other people, too, though. Just so you guys know, I'm working with some other people, too. And I'll be able to announce that later because I can't yet, just because we don't really know yet. But the movie, for sure, with David Zucker. And I think David put a friend request into you, Angie, so you need to accept him. He's a good guy. And also, Rick, what were you going to say, Rick? You were going to say Holly what?
I just want to tell you, I want to reassure you, Holly, that I will never, ever do anything that will make you take out your sheep shears and cut my schmuck umbilical cord.
Hey, listen, I got a sword. That's another thing. That's another thing for another show, but I sleep with swords at the head of my bed, okay? I studied Japanese swordsmanship. And I sleep with swords at the head of my bed. So there you go.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my
Word
goodness.
God.
Well,
Japanese
you won't have to cut my umbilical cord, I promise
you. Nah, I don't do that. I wouldn't do that to anyone. So listen, do we have till 10? Because we're at 9:59. I don't know if your show's going to cut me off or not.
No, it's not going to cut you off, honey.
Oh, okay.
There's a minute left. And so, everyone, let's say our goodbyes. And, oh, my goodness, I've just had the best time today. What a wonderful birthday.
God, I just left someone with such a great, vivid picture of me being Beatrice in Kill Bill. So, no. just when you hear that music starting, you just know I'm coming, okay? Coming for you.
With a sword.
With a sword.
Now I'm going to have
that image.
And I promise,
I don't drive up on curbs.
My...
And as you've been told, yes, I do drive around town. If I see a stuffed animal on the side of the road, yes, I do bring it home. I wash it, and I do repair it, and it does become one of my family. I have a stuffed animal family, too. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Okay. There you go.
I think that's
anyway,
adorable.
I love you guys.
Love you, too. And thank
you
for being on
the
show.
Holly. Thank you. Thank you so,
so
much.
You're so welcome. Okay.
You, oh, you're
and happiest
the
birthday,
guest,
Angie.
Holly.
Happy birthday,
oh,
Angela.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you.
Hey, don't we have a song? Don't we have a song? Don't we have a song to play?
That's it.
And it was a kick-ass song, Angie.
Oh, good.
God.
I'm
here
still in the mosh pit.
Yeah.
Oh, the mosh.
Put a song on, and then we can rock out. I heard music. I'm dancing around my room right now, okay?
Everybody pogo.
Too early for me.
Okay, let's make it your heart too.
Happy birthday, Angie.
Thank you.
I'm waiting for my phone to ring from Atlantic City. That was messed up. It's not away.
Throw my pants away.
Throw my shit away.